Hey, I'm Kirsten.
And I'm Chatty.
Welcome to a segment of the Wash Burn Up podcast.
Thank you for joining us today as we discuss critical issues in Rhode Island politics. And today we'll be discussing the intersection of poverty and education in our fine state.
New England consistently ranks the highest for education by region in the United States. By nearly every educational standard, at least one of the New England states ranks in the top five. However, Rhode Island consistently falls short of its neighbors. Vermont, Connecticut, and New Hampshire and Massachusetts fall in the top five best pre-K education. Maine's in 12th, and Rhode Island's in 25th. Not only that, but similar statistics follow the same trend with poverty. New Hampshire has scored the lowest level of poverty for the last decade. Right now, it stands at about 7%. Other New England states also tend to be in the lower range. But Rhode Island's poverty level is at 11.8%. The United States average is just over 12% in poverty. And while it's important to note that Rhode Island did not make the top 10 highest poverty rates in the United States, it doesn't mean that there isn't a problem.
Rhode Island ranks higher than all other New England states. The next highest is Maine, coming in at 11.3%. Elementary and secondary schools have major funding issues. To make it unbelievably simple, neighborhoods and towns that make a lot of money produce more money and have school districts that have a lot of resources. The majority of funding comes from local property taxes. The biggest problem with the system that we have today, which funds our education in America, is that it leads to a never-ending cycle that drastically needs change. Wealthy towns have a good education, so their citizens become educated and are generally more likely to go up to college and end up in towns similar to those that they grew up in, helping to perpetuate that high standard of living and continue the cycle. The differences between school districts with money versus those without are obvious. Wealthier towns and districts have better teachers, newer, cleaner schools, more access to technology, and they generally offer more AP courses.
When students lack these resources, they're set up in a worse position for entering higher education, which is a large factor in advancing out of your socioeconomic status. We can't leave this issue up to the people alone. There needs to be governmental change.
There have been a few Supreme Court cases in Rhode Island regarding the right to education. One of the most famous ones was Woonsocket School Committee versus Chafee in 2014. This case was brought to the courts because the citizens of Rhode Island saw a fundamental issue with the equation to fund schools. The case was thrown out, sadly, because at the time, Rhode Island's constitution did not have a right to education plan in it, but it did have a right to promote education instead.
So at the moment, there's two bills being proposed in Rhode Island legislature. One is S2095 and the other is H7519. Both are legislation to add the right to education into the Constitution, but they use different language.
Despite all these problems, some states have found great ways to combat educational inequality. For example, Massachusetts and California have found ways to make education throughout their states fairly equal. Both states follow along with the idea of creating an equation, describing exactly what each district needs in its schools.
So this is based on how many disabled students they have, if changes need to be made to their buildings, how many technology requirements they need, as well as other factors. So in California, they use this formula and the majority comes directly out of the state budget, with the rest coming from property and other local federal taxes.
Every school district gets an equal amount of money concerning what they need. In Massachusetts, however, it's a little different. The state requires that the districts provide X amount of money that the state believes the district can afford. Then the state provides the rest.
What's interesting is in Massachusetts, while the majority comes from the state, if a town can raise more money for their school district, they're allowed to do so. So some districts are better off than others, but all of them meet that basic standard.
A few limitations we found are an overall lack of teachers and funding, which causes a shift in our state's education system. We expect that there will be a lot of reluctance from the general public and policymakers, because as we all know, people distrust change, and especially in Rhode Island. However, we hope at this point you have learned why this is so necessary and why the funding needs to happen to create a change. Alternatives we have is to hire more teachers that are skilled and trained to handle our youth and children's needs. We can also raise the average teacher salary and add incentives to allow for better quality of life for them and to ensure that these teachers keep coming back year in and year out. We can also utilize the internet and its resources to continue to deliver more state-of-the-art and modern teaching methods, prepare students for the real world by taking out classes that are unnecessary and mundane, and add in courses such as financial literacy, tax teachings, credit scores, and things of this nature.
Other solutions we have thought of are increasing the federal income tax by 1% and allocating all of the additional revenue to schools in these lower income districts. We've also considered allowing citizens to be able to send their students to either their district's public school or the next closest school district.
Revoking gerrymandering and allowing places that have all minority communities to not be in the same district, as well as allowing more federal funds to go towards first-generation college students from the Department of Education. For future research, we will research whether the changes in our neighboring state of Massachusetts have or have not worked, whether an increase in funding and the addition of autonomous educational opportunities have changed the state's educational crisis for the better or worse. We will look at things such as retention rates, overall college acceptance rates, and admissions in surrounding schools in the state, and that will help dictate our results.
For the future, we hope that by this point, you understand the weight of this issue. It's necessary for the funding of schools to change. So please contact your representatives today and advocate for the right to an equal education and emphasize the need for change in the funding of equations throughout our entire state. Thank you for listening to Wash Burn Up Podcast. This is Kirsten.
This is Chatty.
Stay educated, Rhode Island.